Hello, and welcome back to the Ever-Changing World podcast. I'm your host, Ava Zanetti, and lately, I think there's been way too much news. There's been a lot of news stifling our world, and I wanted to talk about that today. First, I really want to talk about Roe vs. Wade. This has been huge. We've had a very unfortunate, but you know, kind of thought out decision erupt out of that. And I'll get more into that later in the episode, but I want to first talk about Roe vs. Wade, the implications of it, see how far we get with that. As well, there has been a recent, or I believe there is a recent, there's some recent NATO information that has erupted, with different countries trying to join, and, you know, of course, the Russia and Ukraine war. And that's been really, really big, but I feel like a lot of people have stopped talking about it. We've started looking at different topics, you know, and obviously rightfully so. Some of these topics have been really, really big and obviously really harmful, dangerous, and sad. But I think we also haven't been looking at it enough. And I do want to talk a little bit about NATO as well as just the different implications with that and how that's been going. So I have a few different topics I want to talk about today, some heavier topics. So make sure you're kind of ready for that. And as well, of course, I'm going to give my opinion as I usually do. I think in every episode I do. But before we get all into that, I wanted to do a little bit of a quick introduction and a little bit of a quick update as well, because we have some information here that I think is important to talk about. So I am going away for the month of July, and I'm not going to say where, but I am going away for July for like a summer program, which means I can't quite record my podcast episodes. So for the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th of July, so the whole month of July, basically, because, you know, those are the only days of July I'll be posting anyways, no matter what, I'm going to have pre-recorded episodes. Though this is going to look like the episodes might not be as long, they might be 30, 45 minutes, maybe not an hour, and I've been doing shorter episodes lately just because I've enjoyed doing them more, and I think I've made them more efficient doing it that way, and I like the format of that better, but those episodes are going to be maybe a little bit shorter, and they're not going to be as timely, so I'm still figuring out the exact topics I'll be talking about, and I'll be recording those probably tomorrow or very soon, but I do want to talk about things that are not as timely, because, you know, if I'm recording something, you know, this week, like on the 30th of June, and you know, it's posted on the 26th, and some big development has happened. I don't want that to go out with, you know, untimely information, especially if people listen the week of. So, I will be recording those this week, and they probably won't be recent events, so I just want to give that heads up. And as well, they'll probably be a little bit shorter. So I just want to tell you the next four episodes, the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th of July, 2022, of course, the episodes will be pre-recorded. So not really too much of a change, but I just want to give that update because I still wanted to record the podcast episodes and made sure we had that going on, but I knew I wouldn't be able to record it during my summer program. So yeah, that's like just a little bit of an update. And I'm actually just going to write this in my calendar right now so I don't forget while I'm talking about it. There we go. But I just wanted to give that quick heads up and quick update. As well, I have been reading a new book all about the founding, not the founding of Brooks, but how they, you know, how they kind of made Brooks better. And Jim Weber, who is the CEO of Brooks, created an amazing book called Running with Purpose. I'm almost done the book, or I think about halfway, actually. He created it this year, 2022, I believe April, so very recently to when I'm reading it. And it's absolutely amazing. It's talking about a little bit about his backstory. Yeah, end of April he published it. But as well, how he made a company that was failing and made it work with a niche and how he grew it. And it's an amazing story. I highly recommend the book. It's very, very new. I haven't seen a lot of people reading it recently, but it's a really great. So highly recommend it. And definitely go check that book out. I've actually really enjoyed it, and I've been reading a lot recently being off, and I think that's gonna go away a little bit now, now that I have, you know, more things going on once again, but that is all right. So yeah, I think that was the main thing that I want to talk about in this little introduction, and I think we might as well move into Roe vs. Wade, as you know, that has been really big. All right, so Roe vs. Wade. I posted a podcast episode. When was it? Gosh, we're on the 25th episode, guys, and we missed a week, so technically we've been doing this longer, but it's all right. Roe vs. Wade, I posted on episode 19, so a while ago now. I posted a whole Roe vs. Wade episode because that was really big news then, and it's big news once again for unfortunate reasons, of course. So to give a really big update on what happened, Roe vs. Wade was overturned. So Roe vs. Wade gave the rights to women for abortion. So it allowed women the right of abortion, you know, no matter the circumstance, which is just a basic human right, of course. I want to get the official update, because all these articles I have are not the official update. Let me make sure I got the right article here. All right. All right. Okay, so Supreme Court overturns Roe vs. Wade, ending right to abortion upheld for decades. So this is really historic, of course, and the Supreme Court has reversed it, to allow the right to abortion, which has worked for almost half a century, and now this does not exist anymore. It says that it must, so people were saying it must be overruled because they were egregiously wrong. The argument's exceptionally weak, so damaging, the amount of an abuse of judicial authority is one of the people in the Supreme Court saying what they wanted. And it was mostly leaked in May, which we saw, which seemed like it was going to be overturned, which I believe I did talk about in the past episode. But I was kind of like in the episode, like, guys, like, maybe don't worry about it quite yet. We don't know what happened, you know, who knows. But it seems real, you know, this could be happening, and then obviously, unfortunately, it did happen, and here we are. So, unfortunately, you know, it was overturned. So what that means now, and what state we are in, is that the states are going to decide if abortion is legal or not, which is not great, because a lot of the states, and of course the red states are the ones that are kind of against abortion, are going to not have the access to abortion. And the thing is, right, is that, yeah, you can not want an abortion or not ever want to have an abortion yourself, and that's fine, but, you know, the whole thing about that is it's like, well, you know, it doesn't mean you should take away someone else's rights to have an abortion, right? That's where the lines are drawn here. So, you know, it's not only about what you think, it's about, okay, well, you know, it's not about just you, it's about your rights as well. And actually, women were overturning it and agreed to overturn it. And I want to see exactly a Supreme Court abortion ruling. I want to see who voted what, because I want to see who agreed to what, and you know, all of that. So the thing about the Supreme Court is they can decide a lot, obviously. They're the Supreme Court, right? But the presidents get to shove in whoever they want in there, and obviously Trump shoved in some interesting characters, which obviously led to, you know, some issues. So already on this board, which isn't great, is there are only 3 women. compared to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 men. So that's already like a imbalance there. But you could argue, okay, well, you know, one of the women's a Republican, and that's true. And there's only 3 Democrats on the board, while there are 6 Republicans. And of course, one of those Republicans includes Brett Kavanaugh, which notoriously isn't a great guy. I can't quite find who voted what. I think there was something where it was just saying that there were 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and I'm assuming that the Democrats obviously voted, you know, against the overruling, and the Republicans voted the other way. I think that's what it was. That's the article I saw, but it was a really long time ago. By that, I mean a few days ago. But, you know, really with that whole overruling, it really is going to mess with a lot of people. And about half the states are just going to ban abortion outright. I saw, you know, what's estimated, because, you know, each state can decide now. And what that really means is they're declaring this is not a human right, and they're declaring this is something that the state can decide, which shouldn't be the truth, you know? Every woman should have the right to their own body, the choice to what they want to do and what they want to do with their body. And this is really leading to, obviously, very harmful stuff. And it's going to damage a lot of women's lives. And it's going to damage a lot of future children's lives. Because there's going to be a ton of, you know, women who don't want their children, or families who don't want their children. And they're going to be born into this world where either their parents don't want them and they're harassed or abused and all this, or just neglected. Or they're going to go into a horrible foster system that is already overflowed, it isn't, you know, properly built, and now they're going to be thrown to there, and then, you know, they're either going to have to live their whole life in the foster system, then figure it out, or they're going to go, you know, into an abusive foster family, right? Like, there's all these different things that could happen, that, you know, just taking the right away to abortion, it doesn't do anything, it actually makes things worse. And the other thing, too, is it's not just that, it's not about, okay, what if everyone gets, you know, pregnant and has a kid? The other thing is people are going to have abortions no matter what. Either one, people are going to have enough money to be able to travel and be able to go to another state, or go to somewhere like Canada where I live, or go to Mexico and get an abortion. That will happen for the rich women. Or if not, the people that can't afford that, can't afford going to another state or country, will get an illegal abortion and get a really unsafe illegal abortion. They're going to get an abortion that, you know, could kill them, or does kill them, and in a really unsafe area, and that is going to heavily, heavily harm them, and obviously not be good. So, that's kind of the only ways that it's gonna go. So this ruling, all it really does is it just hurts women, in every which way, and I believe, a woman actually voted for overruling it, which is absolutely disgusting, because she's absolutely just voting to harm herself, pretty much. She's just harming herself. So, you know, of course, that's horrible in and of itself. And, you know, it's just a really sad state of the world. You know, we're in 2022, and we have a lot of issues to deal with, and basic human rights shouldn't be one of them. Especially in a country that states that, you know, they are free, and now overruling such a little thing is so ridiculous, right? You can have your own opinions on if you like abortion or not, I don't care, but, you know, it's a basic human right to have the ability to have an abortion, and I'm very lucky to live in Canada and have the option to always come back to Canada if I ever move to the States or whatever, and it's, you know, really, really nice about that, because, you know, it's just really sad what's happening over there. And I know in Poland as well, I believe it's Poland, they've had this issue. And it wasn't as spotlighted because, you know, America's America and, you know, everything they do gets really big in the news. But a lot of countries, this is happening, and it's really sad. And it was just going back in time, and it's not right at all. And women have to be extra cautious and all of this, and just get unsafe in abortions, and it's very sad, especially for the poor population who can't afford to travel and, you know, get these things, and as well, like, these states, and even Canada and Mexico, like, these abortion clinics might be overfilled, because a lot of people are going from different different parts of the states. And it's sad. I saw a TikTok actually the other day, and it was someone saying how in their home country, I forget where it was, but abortion was legal there, and it just actually allowed now. But they used to, women used to go, like a daughter and a mother would go to on a surprise vacation, and everyone was like, why are they on vacation? I saw their dad and I saw their sister just today. Why are they on vacation? And they actually just went to another country to get an abortion. And then when they got back, you know, they said, you know, they told people, but they couldn't before because they could get, you know, severely fined, or, you know, it'd be dangerous for them to say that they did that, but obviously they did it in their country or whatever, so it was fine. But we're gonna see lots more of that. We're gonna, you know, hear stories of people going to Canada or going to Mexico or just going to another state and getting these abortions. And you know, it's just gonna keep happening, and this overruling really has done nothing but just, you know, hurt a lot of people and hurt a lot of more people than I'm gonna help people, right? And it's so ridiculous that this was even overturned, and obviously a lot of people are fighting now. I've seen tons of articles here. I have a few that maybe I'll briefly mention. One of these articles here talks about how the fall with Roe v. Wade, Wisconsin slips back to the 173-year-old abortion ban. A lot of doctors actually in different states as well are struggling with this, and this article mentions this, and how, you know, they want to help and want to give abortions, but they can't because they can obviously lose their license and actually, you know, go to jail for doing it since it's illegal now. And this one doctor is mentioning how in Wisconsin, she can't help, but obviously all she wants to do is help. And the example that she gives here is saying, imagine sitting in an exam room with your doctor and you're explaining a very personal problem affecting every aspect of your life. Your doctor looks you in the eyes and says, I know how to help you, but I can't because the politicians in our state won't let me. Which is an absolutely so sad and just so disgusting thing to even think about, right? Medicine, it shouldn't be something to think about, oh, am I legally allowed to do this? Is it politicians allowed to do this? No, it's now has to be thought, you know, thought about the legalities, which shouldn't be a thing. It's medicine, and that's all it should be. And, you know, obviously she's mentioning how terrible it was, and saying that, you know, legal experts are, you know, they're not healthcare providers, and, you know, they don't really know what they're talking about as well either. So Wisconsin has kind of slipped back into it, and I want to look at the exact states that will ban abortion. I know there are multiple that are already seen to be banning abortion, and it seems about half are. And I'm just pulling up an image here to give you a good idea. Or see if I can find an image. So a good amount are being fully banned. I know some of those include, like Texas, but some are going to be, or at least expected to remain legal, like California and like New York. And some are unknown and some are expected to be banned. So a lot like Pennsylvania, and like Florida and Michigan are still under wraps and they're still deciding. So we're not quite sure what's going to go on there, but it seems like about at least half the states is already going to ban, or it seems very probable that they are going to ban abortion, which is very scary, because especially if you are in a state that, you know, is surrounded by a bunch of other states that will ban it, you it's really a lot harder to, you know, get out and find a place that will allow it. So a lot of people are just even surrounded, and even if they wanted to go hop the border and get one, they can't. So this is really just affecting so many people's lives, obviously, and all the women in America. And it's huge. And even a protest happened in Vancouver. And a lot of people are referencing this to The Handmaid's Tale, so a lot of people have been wearing those outfits as well, if you see those in, you know, these. And a lot of people are saying that, a woman said, pro-choice mother, was saying, what's happening in the United States is so frightening that it could even just happen as easily here, talking about Canada. So, you know, everyone in other countries seeing such a big thing happen in the States, overruling such a big right, is scary as well. Not only, you know, you could say, oh, it's just in America, it's fine, but if it happens there, it seems like it could happen in your country. I know I was watching some videos and people in Australia were saying, you know, it seems like this might even happen here, and it seems plausible that these things could happen in my country as well, because, you know, the domino effect, right? When one big country does something, the other countries are like, oh, look, it's fine. So that's kind of the big Roe versus Wade news, of course. It is very, very disappointing and very sad. And a lot of people are going to be affected by it. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. And I hope that, you know, obviously they're going to be okay and everything can kind of hopefully revert back, but obviously it doesn't seem plausible at all in the near future. But it's just more people needing to fight for rights once again, unfortunately, that shouldn't have to be fought for, but that will be needed too. So moving on from Roe versus Wade, a little bit of a shift, talking about gosh, I can't even read this full article anymore. I didn't read this full article, sorry about that. Talking about the Russian-Ukrainian war, but mainly speaking about the summit. So I read this on Twitter, and it let me fully read it, and I want to see if I can fully read it again. It's an article by The Economist. I really want to read it, and it had a really good layout of all the information. It's called NATO Holds This Most Important Summit in Generations, but it's asking me to have an account now, and I wanted to reference some points here, which is, you know, not nice when I can't get it. Maybe it'll let me if I'm in Twitter. It'll be like, oh, I don't know who you are. It's fine. Let me find it here. Okay. Maybe it'll let me read it. If not, I remember most of the points and I have some other articles. It's not gonna let me. Okay, well, anyways, the main thing about this is that NATO is holding a summit and it's talking about the eastern border. So I can't read this article, which is quite annoying. But, you know, I guess this is what the world wants me to do. So it just opened today on June 28th as I'm recording this episode, and it's ending on June 30th, so it's quite quick. But it's sending out a new message and the topics. Okay, let's see. So NATO summit is going to provide different opportunities, and they're mainly talking about Russia, of course, and how to kind of mitigate these some of these effects. And the big thing, obviously, is the borders and what surrounds Russia. So, looking at a map of Europe, I think that's very important as I talk about this, since I remember some points from that article. So, looking at a map of Europe, some of these countries are NATO members, and some aren't. And I want to describe that. Okay, let's see if I can get this. Okay, map. Oh my gosh, there's so many ads on all these articles. Okay, so a lot of the countries in Europe have already become NATO members. Of course, Ukraine wants to join. All of the Baltic states are. So currently, they are set up with weaponry. I know Canada is in Latvia, I believe. USA is in Poland. Germany is in Lithuania. And a few other countries are in the other ones. And they are currently stationed there in case Russia tries to invade the Balkan states. Russia has obviously kind of been a big warning, and they're like, hey guys, you know, we have big nuclear weapons. We can hurt you if, you know, you try anything. So, you know, NATO's in this really bad position where it's like, I can't really move. Unless you move first, because it's too dangerous if I move, because everything's gonna be messed up. And of course, the whole big thing is obviously Ukraine, once again, is not currently a part of NATO, so we can't help them without causing a world war. So obviously, that's a big issue, and you know, not working out in our favor. So obviously the big topic of the summit is talking about the war, but as well, some members want to join. So Finland and Sweden are on the path to join NATO, as Turkey drops veto. So the reason why Finland and Sweden, they're really big countries that obviously we want on our alliance, and they've been neutral for a very, very long time. Obviously, in the world wars we've heard, they've always been neutral. But they're trying to join NATO now, and NATO's obviously welcoming them with open arms. But Turkey has always had some opposition to this, and they've always had, like, a little bit of, like, a, you need to do this to, like, become a part of it. So, NATO ally Turkey has lifted its veto over Finland and Sweden's bid to join the Western Alliance, after the three nations agreed to protect each other's secrecy, ending a weeks-long drama that tested allied unity against Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So this came on Tuesday, after 4 hours of talks just before a NATO summit in Madrid, which was today, averting an embarrassing impasse at the gathering of 30 leaders that aimed to show resolve against Russia. The lifting of the veto, that means Heising and Stockholm can proceed with their application to join a military alliance, cementing that it's set to be the biggest shift in European secrecy in decades, as the two long-neutral Nordic countries seek NATO protection. So this is really big. I mean, Finland and Sweden are big countries, obviously, and they are joining NATO, and this is insane, obviously. So, NATO Secretary General Jean Stoltenberg and Turkey's presidency confirmed the accord in separate statements after talks between NATO Chief, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. That was so butchered. Sorry about that. Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson, again, butchered, and Finnish President Sauli Niinisto. So the terms of the deal. So Stoltenberg said the terms of the deal involve Sweden intensifying work on Turkish extradition requests and amending Swedish and Finnish law to toughen their approach to be seen those as threats as in Canada. So Stoltenberg also said Sweden and Finland will leave their restrictions on selling weapons to Turkey. So they've kind of had some issues with Turkey, and obviously mentioned selling weapons, so they, you know, haven't let them selling weapons to Turkey, and they've kind of had some vetoes on them, so Turkey was like, I don't want them to join NATO unless of these certain things, but it's really big because Turkey kind of has lifted that grudge in a way, and they will be joining NATO. So, Turkey has raised serious concerns that Sweden has been harboring members of the banned Kurdish Workers Party, or the PKK, KK, which took up arms against the Turkish state in 1984. So Stockholm has denied this accusation, though. The Turkish presidency statement on Tuesday said that the four-way agreement meant full cooperation with Turkey in a fight against the PKK and its affiliates. So really, their whole thing is they're thinking, you know, like a big terrorist group was being held in Sweden against Turkey, and obviously they didn't want that to happen, or they didn't want to be there with them. So, you know, that was a big point of contention. So the Turkish, as well, Sweden and Finland were demonstrating solidarity with Turkey in the fight against terrorism in all forms of and manifestations. So Stoltenberg said NATO's 30 leaders will now invite Finland, which shares a 1,300-kilometer or 818-mile border with Russia, which is huge because they're running the border of Russia, which gives, of course, another ally point if Russia decides to go against NATO and cause a world war. Well, we have another entry point to be able to, obviously, attack them with, and Sweden to join NATO as they would become official invitees. The resolution of the deadlock marked a triumph for intense diplomacy as NATO allies try to settle Nordic accession in record time as a way of solidifying their response to Russia, particularly in the Baltic Sea, where Finnish and Swedish membership would give allies military superiority, which is big. So this news is really, 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 really great, of course, for us and, you know, against Russia. Alan Zurinsky's Jonah Hull said NATO Chief Stoltenberg stated that alliance had resolved its differences. This allows NATO to pull forward a united front in the face of Russian aggression. That is absolutely core and central to the aims of the summit. Not just a unified front, but an expanded front with two new members. So Turkey's concerns. Ankara objected to Sweden and Finland's bid to join NATO based on what considers to be the Nordic pair's lax approach towards groups Turkey and deemed national security threats. Erdogan accused Finland, and more particularly Sweden, of offering safe haven to Kurdish rebels who have been wagging a decades-long armed uprising against the Turkish state. So, you know, obviously they just have been really against this. And it's just really huge that they are allowing this official amendment. So they obviously have dropped these objections now, and they have been eyeing for Finland and Sweden to join NATO for a long time. They formally applied to be part of the security alliance in May, but propelled, of course, by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So now that they have joined, this is actually going to help the case of the war with Russia and Ukraine. And this is really critical. So the summit is really big because Biden arrived in Spain on Tuesday, today, expected to significantly bolster the alliance's defense posture along its eastern edge, including wrapping up troop levels and positioning heavy equipment, etc. The announcements expected over the course of 2 days summit would harden the collective defenses as Russia's invasion of Ukraine enters its fifth month, including scaling up the number of troops to high alert to 300,000, a sevenfold increase. Not since the Cold War has NATO made such an significant enhancements to its posture. So obviously NATO is getting ready for something big. And seeing this, you know, you really have to think to yourself, okay, how big is this going to be? What is this going to look like? NATO obviously is really worried about this, and rightfully so. And what actions are we taking? And, you know, making sure that obviously we are in the right state. So the announcements come amid mounting concerns that the West resolving and confronting Russia could soon fracture amid rising energy prices and warning interest in the grinding conflict. The alliance is strengthening its posture, dealing with the threats and strengthening our posture against threats from the East, challenges from the South. NATO's focus on all directions and domains, air and sea, land, air and sea. Biden said shortly after he arrived. So, Biden detailed plans to add 2 U.S. destroyers based at the Rota Naval Station in Spain, bringing the total number of U.S. destroyers based there to 6. So, of course, that everyone is trying to add more forces and help the Ukraine, but we can't quite go into the Ukraine, so there's obviously some points there. On Tuesday, the administration announced that new sanctions on Moscow, including implementing a ban on imports of Russian gold that was agreed to at the G7 summit. So, of course, we've heard all the big bans we've had in Russia. A bunch of billionaires are not billionaires anymore in Russia because, you know, obviously their money is worth basically nothing. And they're going through a really hard time there. But, of course, Putin is not loosening up. And he believes that, you know, he should have Ukraine. But Ukraine is a sovereign country once again. I have talked about, actually, the history of Russia and Ukraine and the invasion. Again, once a real long time ago. Let me find the episode. I think I talked about this really long ago. I talked about this episode 10. So 15 episodes I talked about this, about the background and all of that and the events leading up. I didn't quite talk about the invasion, but I currently am right now, I guess, in a way. As well as, obviously there's been so many updates. And the reason why I didn't really talk about the invasion and all of that is because the updates, you know, were coming so quick. And all of that. So yeah, those are the really, really, really big points in the summit, and I want to make sure, that obviously we can cover all of them. Of course, there's a few more things to note within the summit that I wanted to point out. Okay. So another big question, of course, is will Ukraine ever join NATO? So the Kremlin has long been critical of NATO's enlargement in Eastern Europe. Russian President Vladimir Putin's security demands to NATO included ruling out Ukraine's membership in the military alliance. So addressing a meeting in the Joint Expeditionary Force in March, where some NATO countries discussed respond to crises, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky said he understood that Ukraine could no longer become a member of NATO. And he, quote, "For years, we heard about the apparently open door, also heard that we will not enter there and the truce must be acknowledged. According to the brawl, in a foreseeable future and under current circumstances, Ukraine's ambition to join the European Union were more likely than NATO membership. And that is very important for the goal to reach them, but is likely to involve lots of work." As well, of course, we're getting more defense added, and we're getting more defense added on the Baltics, which is really important to note. As well, another important update with this is China, actually. So the NATO summit last year, Stoltenberg highlighted that China was coming closer to an alliance, said it was important for NATO to develop a clear and united position towards Beijing. With China's continued observation of the Kremlin's war on the Ukraine and threats against the Taiwan and other countries in the Indo-Pacific region, Nikolai thinks that Zuckerberg's plea regarding a position on China, we magnified a Mandarin, and has supported watch for a strong link to China at the summit. So, quote, there will be discussions among the alliance's members regarding China as a strategic competitor. So we'll also beg the question, what role will NATO seek as it comes to Indo-Pacific security? How will NATO have to stand security in the Indo-Pacific or the Taiwan Strait as increasingly linked to North Atlantic security? Nucleotide Algeries. So with countries such as Japan and South Korea also scheduled to attend the summit, Nuclear said the world is becoming more polarized between autocracy and like-minded democracies. So obviously we're in the state of a world, of course, with Russia invading Ukraine, showing that effect and showing, okay, what does NATO have? What does someone like Russia have? And what do these countries that aren't a part of NATO want to do? And, you know, this is really interesting, of course, and big. There's big developments happening that are really going to affect what's going on in Europe and also could really affect what's going on everywhere else. Some professor at King College London said that with the presence of Japan and South Korea at the summit, there could be statements regarding North Korea as well. So, quote, that matters for South Korea because it can show that there are other countries in Europe and the U.S. could also see North Korea as a threat, which is huge. Because, of course, North Korea, we have Russia obviously doing big things right now, but North Korea has been a big threat for a very long time. And there's lots to think about with that and lots to, you know, obviously cover and make sure that are safe. So, looking at this as well, and this can lead to practical cooperation as well in this region. So there's obviously some really big things happening in this summit that are very, very, very important. And, you know, obviously going to change the course of the world a lot. So kind of looking at this podcast episode today, in a nutshell, of course, we talked about Roe versus Wade as we had to, of course. There's a lot of articles online, so I do your own research, but I'm not going to link any of those today since I kind of spoke from my mind most of the time. And then I have, I believe, 3 articles that I read today for NATO. So NATO Summit is really, really big. There also are some new developments happening as well. So next week's episode that I will be, once again, a reminder, recording this week, we'll probably talk about NATO once again, so that might be the one recent event, and then the rest probably won't be recent events, since, we cannot be doing that. I hope you all really enjoyed today's episode. Of course, Roe vs. Wade, please do your research, please figure out ways to obviously try and stop it. I know, you know, there's different ways you can contact your state if you live in the States, and kind of say, hey, you know, we don't want this to happen. If, you know, obviously there's enough people saying that, they can relook at, you know, thinking about it. So, you know, you can do stuff like that, as well as obviously there's a bunch of charities that you can donate to that work with these women's rights issues. And obviously, this is a really big one. As well with NATO, please keep updated and keep updated with the Russian-Ukrainian war. I think a lot of us have almost forgotten about it in a way. And obviously there's been a lot more developments in the world and other things, but it's big and it's important. So obviously keep updated. And I think next week I will probably talk about NATO once again. So thank you all so much for listening to today's podcast episode. The social medias are always so important to keep up with. My Instagram is ever.changingworld. Again, ever.changingworld. My Twitter is everchangingwor. Again, everchangingwor. Website is shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Again, shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Thank you so, so much for listening to today's podcast episode. Please tune in next week and follow to stay updated. And once again, the world is always changing.